American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you the internet for Friday, April 15th, 2005. And that means you get to dance on the ceiling and say, woohoo, baby, I made it through another week. Yeah, because you know it's good. You know it's fine. You know the weekend is here and you will be able to go out and do what? Well, maybe you'll Counter-Strike the entire weekend away. Or perhaps you could be throwing dice all weekend. You could be sitting down. You could be filling out character sheets, DMing your way through something, or perhaps participating with your cult leader, a.k.a. DM, who will lead you through a weekend of adventures and dungeons crawling in a series of tunnels that are 10 feet by 10 feet with your 10-foot staff in front of you with Greek fire tied to the end of it along with a lantern so that the spider jumps out. You can light the son of a bitch on fire. But until then, this is Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. You can read all the stories along with me by going to my live journal and looking up Micro Machines. No, I'm kidding. That's not a plug for Micro Machines. It's just sometimes I make fun of myself because I like to talk fast. You go to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com, and I paid them. Huh? Look at that. I paid those guys. And you know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say that this is a free radio broadcast. You know, it's in my actual show format that I always say that, and then I'm stuck for something to say. So this time I just skipped ahead one line, and I think it works well. This is a free radio broadcast because it is. It is a free radio broadcast. That means free. Not sort of free. It's not free with purchase. It's not free if you're a member. It's not free if you have a club card, the Rant Radio club card. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do a Photoshop and we'll have our Rant Radio community points card instead of bucks, right? Because that's what everybody's doing, right? Right? I mean, everybody in the whole corporate political industry is handing out points for things. You don't get actual real things now. And you ever notice the prizes aren't real things either? They're like, you get a trip. Well, a trip's a real thing. Yeah, but it's not really a product. How much trip can you hold in your hands? You know what I mean? Well, you know, I guess you could hold about 12,000 mics in your hands, and I'd be holding a trip in your hands, but I'm talking about a different kind of trip. Mind you, I would be real interested with the corporations like, and first prize is 12,000 mics of Sandoz Purple. Whoa. You know, mind you know, why not? Hey, a lot of these pharmaceutical companies are getting there, and you can bet if they, I wonder if the core politicals would jump on the recreational psychedelics bandwagon if they became legal. I mean, you know they would. They'd totally dominate that, and I'd love to see some of the commercials that were coming out with that. Like, they start crossing drugs. They make stacks like Viagra and LSD. You could fuck your hallucinations until you just died, you know? I mean, it'd be an interesting way to see what the advertising perspective would be on something like this. I'd love to sit on a few boardroom meetings. Anyway, this is a free radio broadcast, which means that you can do whatever you want with it. You can remix it, do what you want, and it's currently being rebroadcast on Rant Radio, 765 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, and WNY Media Network. And you yourself are free to rebroadcast this over pirate radio, shortwave radio. You can do whatever you want with this, but if you do it and you spread the virus, make sure you drop me a quick letter just so I can see how it is you're doing it, because I'm interested. You know, it's neat to see the way people get this entire story around. Feedback right off the top. Boy, oh boy, am I getting flack. Woohoo! You know it's good when. Yeah, you're never actually making any difference until you go and actually, you know, start getting hate mail. You know, when you start getting the hate mail a little bit, nothing too hateful, you know. But people are getting real pissed off with my Mud Hut religion statement. Yes, people love that. That's one of my favorite statements. I'm sure there's people out there who really love it, but they don't say nothing because no one says nothing if they're happy. They just say, you rule, man, everybody else rules. Thanks so much. And then, you know, the people who are upset with the Mud Hut religion comment. Now, let's just clarify something on the Mud Hut religion comment. I have said time and time again, for those of you not paying attention on the home game, that I am, in fact, a very spiritual person. Okay? I believe in something. I don't know what the hell it is. And just because I can't quantify it doesn't mean that I'm stupid. It just means that I believe in something. I don't know what I believe in, but I know what I sure as shit don't believe in. And what I don't believe in is the Mud Hut religions. And the Mud Hut religions, for those of you paying attention at the home, we're talking about any religion that can be proven wrong. You see what I'm saying? And I don't mean proven wrong, just sort of like, well, see, there is no God, so that's proven. No. I'm talking about these religions that have, like, entire formulation theories about the nature of the cosmos and stuff like that, because I don't like lies. I've never liked lies. Lies suck. Okay, lies hurt people, and lies are the basis of reality for a lot of people. A lot of these people, you know, there's a lot of little old ladies who go to their Catholic church every Sunday and beg for forgiveness and live in fear that they're going to go to hell. Those people exist, and I think, personally, it's really sad. Nothing, I don't know if you got this where you live, but something that makes me absolutely, absolutely batshit insane is when I go down the street and I see these little old people, and you know they're little old people. There's never any big old people. Everyone knows that? Well, in Canada, I don't know, maybe in the States you got big old people, but up here in Canada, man, we have little old people. After a certain age, everybody starts shrinking, you know? Eventually, you know, they're all hiding under the park bench and stuff, holding their Awake magazines, and the Jehovah's Witnesses are like, hey, we got some good news for you today. And I'm like, hey, why don't you fuck off? But no, I never tell them to fuck off. I'm always nice to J-Dubs because they think they're doing you a favor. When in fact, they've been hacked. Realistically, most Jehovah's Witnesses, especially Jehovah's Witnesses, are ghost hacked. They believe that they have to do this stuff, otherwise they don't get into heaven. And I'm upset with any religion that teaches, you know, works, that tells people you have to do this for us, the church, your mom, whatever. You have to do all this stuff. Otherwise, you're not going to heaven. And of course, you want to go to heaven because if you don't go to heaven, well, I guess you're screwed, right? And then you've got all these other religions where it's like Christianity. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you're fucked. Well, what about all people who live in the Amazon? Well, they've got missionaries coming for them, but don't you worry. And God works in mysterious ways. He'll make sure he gets through to them. And there's lots of, you know, these religions out there in the bush that they believe in Jesus anyway because God spoke to them individually. That's the official party line on that. And then you've got, I don't know a hell of a lot about Judaism. I don't know much about it. That said, I don't really want to know much about Judaism. I mean, I know that the Christ guy, like, he was not really so popular with the Jews. And everybody, you know, I love this shit. I love this shit. The rest of the world always calls the Jews the Christ killers. You know what I mean? No one wants to say it, but they say that. They say, well, it was the Jews who killed Jesus, right? And then this is the big thing that the Jewish people have had to wear from a Christian perspective. But in actuality, the Jews did not kill Jesus. According to scripture, according to actually even what they say, they said that they didn't like him, but it was the Romans who put him up on the stick. And I don't care if Pontius Pilate got up there and said, no, this is all Jewish shit. We're just following orders. We're just following the orders. I don't care. I could be in the French Foreign fucking Legion, and if I met Jesus, and he's like, I am the Son of God, you know, and I'm supposed to go out and execute this dude, I'd be like, fuck that. Me and Jesus is taking off. You can all be hanging here. I'll be all rogue soldiering and with the Son of God over here. And now I get a book written about me. Woo! Personally, I think that would make the Bible a lot more interesting. Think about it. Some Roman soldier running and gunning with Jesus. Right across. Now, there's a first-person shooter. Save the Christ. You know, the Passion of the Roman. There we go. That's what we need to have. We'll have the Passion of the Roman, you know, game one, save the Christ. So you're a Roman soldier, got a sword, right, cruising around the desert. And then you, you know, have to go into little houses and mud huts and stuff like that and get your power-ups. And then you make it up to the mount before they nail Buddy to the stick, before they give him the crown and all that. Geek everybody on the hill. Jesus is like, no, I must die in the way of a... Shut up! Stuff him in a sack and you bomb, right? Throw him on one of those Khufu backpacks, you know, the kinds with a little seat on the back that you can put people in. And you just haul ass out across the desert. You know? That'd be rad. What a great first-person shooter. I hope the guys from EA listen to this program, because I'm here to tell you know, save the Jesus. That's the... I want Photoshop that game. Man, Monday, I want some Photoshop save the Jesus, you know? Passion of the Roman. That's awesome. But anyway, back to the Jews. You know, I don't know much about Judaism. They got great taste in hats. They dress like they're Amish. They seem like they're really good guys. You know, they run a hell of a camera store in New York, I'll tell you that. We went down to that one, they got down there right off, wherever the hell it was. James was, like, jizzing all over the place. I had to hit him with a hypodermic. But, yeah, I mean, they're nice people. And, you know, well, the Nazis didn't like them very much, so that pretty much puts them in my books as being okay. You know, personally, I don't know much about Jews. I know that they, you know, wear the little hats and everything, and that's all cool. and they got their god and all the rest of it. I also know their religion's really, really old, so that's cool too. Now, granted, I don't have a problem with any of this. I don't have a problem with any world religion. I don't have a problem with the rock worshiping dudes. I don't have a problem with the Hajj and the whole Muslim thing and Islam and all that. I don't have a problem. No problems. However, there is this byproduct of your religion called war, which is fucking up my Middle East. It's really screwing things up over there because everybody can't get along. Now, when this occurs, you know, there's a certain steps that you have to follow these things back and decide, okay, now, are these religions, which was a method for tribes to sort of publish their protocols for how to communicate with them, and this is what the basis of manners are and all that good shit, religion has served its purpose. These classic religions have served their purpose. And what we need to do now is we need to stop getting away from the dogma and start looking towards things like faith and spirituality. You'll notice I'll call them mud hut religions and not mud hut faith, okay? Because there's a difference. If you believe what you want to believe, realistically, it shouldn't bother you in the fucking slightest that I'm calling it a mud hut religion, because you're like, well, whatever, Sean's going to, you know, fill in the blank for a bad spot here. But for those of you out there that are spiritual, I'm right there in your corner. But don't start killing people. Anybody who kills people like some kind of ignorant savage because they disagree with what their gods say, if that's not something that some like completely freaked out primate would do, I don't know what it is. Hence, mud hut religions. So that's the first piece of feedback right off the top. Second piece of feedback. Hi, Sean. I was listening to one of the older Newsreel episodes. Yes, I'm one of those nuts who downloads all the shows from episode one. And you talked about how immortality is feasible and a good thing. I think immortality is scary. Well, okay, now this whole fucking line here is like, wow, wait for the forum conversation. Think about what would be going on if someone in the USA's like current administration, maybe Hitler, were immortal. Well, that would make The Hague a pretty big place. How hard do you think it is when we look at what's going on for the American government to ditch the rule that says you can't be elected for president more than two times? Without immortality, people just die at some point. It's like natural regulation. You've had your chance, but now it's time to die. With immortality and the core political being in charge and those leaders like they kept, with those leaders they like, how is anything ever going to change for the better? Personally, I wouldn't want to be immortal either way, but that's just a personal thing. Siberian. Oh, P.S., keep up the good work. You may just be just some guy, but you're some guy doing a great job at what you're doing. Little smiley face on the end of it. Oh, I feel all warm and fuzzy there. Thank you, Siberian. And it does, actually. You know, sometimes people are like, I really like what you do, and I'm like, oh, thank you. But, you know, really, it really does make a difference when I get fan mail. I love it. It makes up for all the hate mail I get for calling things mud on religions. No, but seriously. Okay, now the whole immortality thing is a real stickler. Now, he's right, of course, is that when the first immortality wave hits, it's only going to be, you know, the empires of nastiness that get this technology because they'll be experimenting on whatever to make it happen. However, that technology, much like nukes, much like every other technology that has hit the market, has eventually, you know, will boil down. So it might not be right away, may not even be for a couple generations, but once that technology exists, they can't contain it. Little people will leak little pieces, and it won't be long before it winds up on the black market. Case in point, drone security, like those automated drones they have flying around, you know, the kind they arm or put missiles on. It's like your very own robotic flying robot that just kills anything it sees. Well, the Hezbollah's got one. That's in today's news. The Hezbollah flew one over this country, and everyone's like, holy shit, terrorist drones! You know, and that's where we're going to go. It's going to turn into terrorist drone robotic combat. You don't think it will? Of course it will. The suicide bombers use suicide bombers because it can't be stopped. If you have, and if they're willing to die, if they're willing to strap explosives on their chest and march merrily off into oblivion, okay, well, they're not going to have a problem sending a robot to do that, I'll tell you that right now. So I think that that's really what these terrorist groups are going to do, because believe you me, if you have the conviction to strap a bomb on your chest and go, bip, there it is, well, then that's a lot of drive to acquire new technology that keeps these hardcore psycho soldiers on your side. Speaking of hardcore psycho soldiers, I'll get back to this, but finishing up on the immortality thing real quick, I think it is a good thing. I think we should chase it. And you know what? Just because you're immortal, that doesn't mean that you're a god. It just means that you won't die from natural causes. And, you know, if we had a president or something that was really, really bad and started fucking the country up, declaring war on anything, how long do you think it would be before somebody introduced a rifle bullet into his cranial passage? You know what I mean? Eventually, you're going to have to take the guy out, because if he's fucking everything up, then I am a numbers guy. Okay, I hate to say this, but it's the truth. If killing five saves 10, it's a bargain.
That's how it works. And yes, there is some priority there. Would I kill five nuclear physicists in an end-of-a-world scenario to save 20 children with Down syndrome? Oh, there's the big criteria. Would you save 20 scientists? Would you save 20 scientists who have, you know, educated all the rest of it, they're at a young age, all the rest of it, or 30 Down syndrome children or 20 Down syndrome children in an end of the world scenario? Dun 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 dun. Well, me personally, I'd save the scientists. Why? Because it sucks. It sucks, and it's fucking horrible. But it's easy to decide between right and wrong, but it's a lot harder to decide between the wrong that's more right. And in that particular scenario, and if you think the Mudhut religion's going to get me some hate mail, woo, Nelly, this one here is going to get it. It's, yeah, I would save the scientists because, well, we have to rebuild society. And that's the way it is. So, you know, whatever. That's my own personal viewpoint. You may not do that, and that's why I'm an internet radio DJ and not a person with supreme power, because I don't want to be a person with supreme power. I would be frightening if I was a person with supreme power. My dog wouldn't like me if I had supreme power. So getting past that, we're going to get into the sort yourself out section of the show. Because, you know, after all, now that I've, you know, done the Mudhut religion thing, and I'm sure, oh my gosh, I can just see it now. Fascist. You know, wow, the hate mail is going to be coming in for me. But that's okay. I got the weekend. So, hey, Sean, this is a sort yourself out. Hey, Sean, the other day I was walking to Ontario. I live in Mexico. The other day I was talking to a wog in Ontario. Oh, and we were on the topic of the Canadian Forces Reserves. He mentioned that he was going to be joining. We got a big conversation about it. Now, I guess this guy's in the States. I became rather interested in the prospect of joining the resort since, from the way he told me, you don't have to fight in any wars. Having the intent of joining would boost my chances of getting citizenship. Okay, well, if you're not a Canadian citizen, right off the top, you can't join the reserves. I would get the training and the kit that I want. No, you won't. You just think you will. The only worry I have is that the whole not having to fight thing. I love Canada. I have a Canadian flag on my wall. If it came to defending Canada, I would fight. But I'm not so sure the Canadian government would send us to fight someone else's war, a war I probably don't agree with. So what I'm asking is, if I was a reservist, would they maybe be able to make me go and fight? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Okay? If at the drop of a hat, they could make you go and fight. There's people who say they wouldn't. There's people who say that there's little things on paper that says you don't have to. But I'm here to tell you, when you take the oath to the Queen, yes, they can phone me up and make me go. Or, well, what they'll do is they'll call you have to go. I don't want to go. You have a choice. You go to Edmonton Military Prison where they don't give you clothing and you're not allowed to speak and you sleep in a 4x4 room, or you can go fight. I'll get back to you. Second part. Will having the intention of joining actually boost my chances of getting citizenship? Now, this whole question's kind of moot because you cannot join the Canadian Army unless you are a Canadian citizen. We're pretty lax and laid back on our security, but we're not quite that lax. What do you think of this plan since you're in the CF? Well, I think that you're fundamentally flawed because you can't join because you don't have a citizen. But if you were a citizen and you could join, I would say that you should don't join a combat arms trade. You want to join something that where you get a trade. So you get in, get some kind of a trade. Like I personally, if I was joining the military on any front right now, I'd be doing comms. I would get into the radio and comms, especially electronic warfare, any kind of improvised radio, places where they drop you, you know, somewhere in Africa, and they're like, you know, here, throw some bones on the ground. We want a radio net up so we can start distributing information. That's pretty exciting shit. Also, in the radio field, you get to put a backpack radio on. You're a priority target for a sniper. Woo! And you get to run around in the caves looking for all the, you know, nasty bad guys in Afghanistan and stuff like that with an infantry battalion, which would be really, really, or infantry platoon rather, or section, or whatever you wind up being stationed with. And lastly, what field do you think I would choose if I was looking to go in? I'm looking at artillery soldier field, infantry soldier, just because I'm interested in the stuff and I'd be learning and practicing. Now, first of all, everyone in the Army, if you're in the Army, should be infantry right off the top. You are a soldier first, especially in the Canadian Forces. You are a soldier first. I don't care if you're a fucking cook. Incidentally, in the Canadian Army, the people you don't want to fuck with, you could go beat up a bunch of infantry guys. But, you know, if you really want your ass kicked, I mean really want your ass kicked, go up to the head shed where the post office and all like a lot of the older soldiers are. Because what you'll get is you'll get these guys who were like airborne for 10 years. They were JTF for 2 years. You know, they got coursed out the ass. Their knees are shot so they can't run 100 miles anymore. So they got some groovy little trade. The scariest guy on my base was the dude who ran the post office. Nobody even knew what this – his records were sealed, okay? He was sealed. Nobody – we saw him on a defensive, throwing out a law, firing it with one hand with accuracy, rolling it under his arm like he was pointing a flashlight, and shooting targets. The guy could clear a jam in like a heavy machine gun like a blink. The dude was amazing. He never smoked, stared at the table, lots of snakes in his head. Hell of a nice guy. Got drunk with him a few times. Still didn't talk, okay? That guy had an entire reptile refuge in his head, let me tell you. But badass? Oh, fuck yeah. Now, also, a lot of young people out there listening to this going, wow, you know, they play Counter-Strike. They think, man, I'd love to be a badass. I'd love to be a Pathfinder with, you know, confirmed kills, and I could geek people in the dark and all that kind of shit. Okay, well, listen up, okay, because I was one of those guys, all right? I wasn't one of the guys killing people in the dark, but I was most definitely one of those kids who, you know, goes out there and geeks shit and stuff like that. Now, there's a few things you need to understand. First of all, I'm going to tell you the truth right now, and I'm going to get a lot of hate mail, but what the hell? I've already done the retard scientist thing, so, you know. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit if you were a Green Beret, if you were Special Forces, if you're doing it because you think it's going to be cool, that you've got, you know, the airborne wings, or you've got the Pathfinder badge, you got the Ranger badge, or whatever. If you think that's going to buy you some flack or buy you some slack out there in the world, you're fucking wrong. Okay, I know guys who are walking death incarnate with a job at Home Depot. All right, you need to have a trade. If you don't have a trade that's transferable to a time of peace, you will only be useful in times of war. Look at the fruit on the trees before you settle in an orchard. Don't go with the way you think things are. Do fucking research, especially if this is something as serious as the rest of your life. Okay, you want to go to the Legion Hall. Hi, I want to talk to someone who's got a recce commando course. Sure. They take you in, sit you down with Buddy and go, yeah, man, I'm thinking about this. He'll listen to you, smile a lot, put his hand on your shoulder and say, listen to me, son. You want to go get yourself a trade. He'll tell you the same thing I'm telling you. I'm telling you this because it's the truth, and people don't like to hear the truth. Somebody said to me one time, if Sean, if all you ever did was tell the truth, people would run when they seen you coming. And I disagree. I don't think that's true. I think that the truth needs to be told. Nobody gives a shit if you're an elite psycho killer. You don't want to be an artillery soldier because, well, that's boring as fuck. Trust me, been there, done that. It's kind of neat at some level, but generally, no. It's a lot of sitting back and a lot of heavy lifting. Infantry soldiers, sure, if you like digging trenches. You know, I don't think you should join the infantry. Well, I'd like to be special forces and all this kind of jazz. Okay, great, but how long are you going to do that? Top end, man, your knees are going to give out by the time you're 35, if you're lucky. Yes, there are older Special Forces soldiers, and they don't do a lot of the runs and marches and shit anymore, but it's hard on the body. So, Clipper, if you're thinking about doing this and you want to be hardcore, get a military trade that gives you a trade, something, especially anything that gives you, like, satellite experience working with satellites, because where do you go in the civilian world to get that? You know, I mean, corporations hire straight out of the Army, especially from the comms division, because these guys got SAT experience hooking up fiber, shit that you just can't learn in school. You got real-world, hands-on, eyes-on-the-ground training. So that's something you want to look at, okay? So please, please, if you think I'm an idiot, fine. If you don't like my references to things, that's fine, too. But for God's sakes, if you're going to be joining the Army and you don't believe me, go talk to some vets. Go talk to people who are there, who've chewed the exact, and I mean the exact shit that you're going to chew, and get pointers. Read the cheat sheet, okay? Go get the cheat codes, and you get the cheat codes from the people who've already played the game. Come on. This wisdom is, you know, it's cross-genre. You can apply that to anything. So, Clipper, please, please, for the love of God, man, okay, think very, very, very hard before you jump in there thinking it's going to be exciting and stuff like that and, you know, you're going to save the world. And I'm not trying to dampen your flame. I think that we need good people and we need the world needs soldiers, not just a country, but everybody needs a soldier who has an understanding of honor, dignity, decency, integrity, respect, you know. I have to wig out on the radio like this. I have to, you know, make statements about the truth. But when you talk to me in person, the last thing I would do in the world is make fun of someone's faith to their face. That's the last thing in the world I do. I don't agree with a lot of, I'm kind of a cultural bigot, I'll give you that. If your culture puts, you know, beehive outfits on women and beats the shit out of them before lighting them on fire, yeah, fuck you. I think that's bullshit. And I think any religion that allows people to be lit on fire, stoned, and beaten to death because, you know, they said Jehovah or something, I think that's bullshit too. Okay, yeah, I'll go on the record. Well, you shouldn't say that. Well, fuck you, guy. If you're causing, you know, all the world's suffering based on what? Religion. And if you don't think it is, you need to take a little trip overseas, my friend, and have a quick look-see at what's going on in the rest of the world. All us chairborne commandos back here talking about what we think will be the solution while people die. And if that seems repetitive, well, you know, that's the way it is. It's another day. It's a Friday. We had a Friday last week, too. So, moving straight. I hope that answers your question, Clipper. All right? But, yeah, if you sign on the dotted line, they're spending money on you. You can bank that anytime they spend money on you, they're going to want to get their money back. And that means that they might take it in blood. Moving on to the news, there's even more ID theft in the news. No doubt you've heard about this. Data broker LexisNexis said Tuesday that the personal information may have been stolen on 310,000 U.S. citizens, nearly 10 times the number found in a data breach announced last month. An investigation by the firm's Anglo-Dutch parent Reed L. Siever, I think that's right too, determined that the database had been fraudulently breached 59 times using stolen passwords, leading to the possible theft of personal information such as addresses and security numbers, social security numbers. LexisNexis said in March that 32,000 people had potentially affected by the breaches and will notify an additional 278,000 individuals whose data may also have been stolen. Now, I don't remember if I said that 32,000 seemed low to me because they didn't know how many was stolen, but I think I called this. If someone could get back to me, let me know if I called this or not. I don't really do the "I told you so, I called it" anymore because, you know, I get kind of bored. We need to write them and offer the same kind of support for an investigation we offered the original 32,000, Reed Elsevier's spokeswoman said. Of the original group, it is somewhat encouraging that none has suffered identity theft. Well, that's fan-fucking-tastic. The only problem is, lady, is that you don't know. These people, when you're dealing with your social insurance number, they keep the same one. So maybe they'll sit on all this data for 5 years and then start using it. Okay? You see what I'm saying? They can't change the passwords when it comes to your social insurance number. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe you can change your social insurance number. So if you can't change your social insurance number and you're like 45 and you've already bought your house and you have no intention of moving because you spent the first half of your life trying to find a nice place to live, then, you know, you're probably not going to move, so all your other data is relevant. Oh, yeah. Law enforcement authorities are assessing the company's investigations with a coincidence of rash of similar break-ins and other companies handling consumer data. Now, how about this one here? My enemy's enemy? Is this true? Anheuser-Busch Company, the nation's number one buyer of rice, so this is a huge core political, as well as its largest brewer, says it won't buy rice from Missouri if genetically modified medicinal crops are allowed to be grown in the state. Holy shit. Now, that's shocking. Because they're like, no, we're not going to use gen-modified stuff. And that's in a beer brewer. So you know they got pull. The St. Louis-based beer giants is the latest company to express concern over plans by Ventria Biosciences to grow 200 acres of rice engineered to produce human proteins capable of making medicine. The company says it is concerned about possible contamination. Well, no shit. Biotechnology firms have been seeking federal approval for outdoor planting called biofarming because the idea is to lower drug-making costs by using plants to grow medicines or medications. Well, that's an interesting idea. I don't know enough about it to really make a call there. On paper, it looks nice. Other food companies, environmentalists, and farmers have said they fear genetically altered rice could cross-pollinate other food crops and introduce foreign genes into the regular food chain. Again, not enough knowledge there, but that does look like a viable concern. Last month, Arkansas-based Riceland Foods Incorporated, the world's largest rice miller and marketer, asked federal regulators to deny a permit for Ventria's project, saying Riceland customers don't want to risk buying genetically modified rice. Anheuser-Busch is believed to be the first major company to threaten boycott over the issue, according to comments filed last month with the Agriculture Department. Now, that is huge. That is a huge piece of news, because it's news like this that will stop the gen mod crops, if you're into stopping gen mod crops. I've talked to a chemical engineer just recently who I met through the show, and they said that they were a little bit freaked out by it. Now, by the same thing, you know, I watched a Penn and Teller episode of Bullshit where they talked about gen mod food saving billions of lives. So you gotta kind of look at this one way or the other. You know, we have to get to the fact. Now, the truth is out there regarding this gen-modified stuff. It either will cross-pollinate, does cause problems, or it won't. Now, we need to stop the FUD. We need to stop the jumping up and down, hating the core political, and we need to find out the truth. Now, I want to know the truth. Just what the fuck is wrong with Japan? This is a very disturbing story to me. Okay, see who else is disturbed by the story. A lot of people won't be. 78-year-old widow Akino Okano is lonely. In Japan, the average woman lives to 85, 7 years beyond the average man. From the age of 22, Akino lived with her husbands and their 11 other members of their family. Oh my God, that sounds like hell. But they have all died or moved away, and now she lives in an enormous farmhouse on her own. When I come back from being out all day in the house is dark, I feel alone and sad, says Akino. You know, and when an 85-year-old says that, that just breaks my heart. Conversation makes me happy. Sometimes I just feel like chatting. Sure. To help cope, Akino has been introduced to Primo Puel, an interactive doll, a doll that talks, giggles, and even asks for cuddles. It provides her with much of the company she longs for, especially in the evening. Now, when you click on this go to the link, there's these pictures of these old people, like really old people, touching this doll, this robotic doll, okay? And they're all like, oh, it's beautiful. It's all snuggling them, and it's like, you know? Okay, old people snuggling up to robots is creepy as fuck. I don't know if any... This thing is... Paro's based on baby harp seals, taking 12 years... and 5 million pounds to create. Based on well-known properties of animal therapy, Pro has been designed to provide relaxation, entertainment, companionship through all the fins of physical interaction, covered with soft white antibacterial fur. So, some reason, although it's very after now, don't get me wrong, it's extremely after now, and you can bank on probably that'll get filed away in my subconscious somewhere to be conjured up and take that to the nth degree. But having these little toy dolls that all these old people are playing with and shit like that. Just, I mean, I guess it's better than them being alone, but it just seems really disturbing to me. Like, does anybody else find that disturbing? I need to know. Because it's just, oh, hello, and they're talking to these robots, and they're, like, pretending they're playing with dolls and shit. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. That whole thing just kind of, I mean, it's better than nothing, but that's a pretty hardcore Band-Aid solution. A better idea is from the same site I got that. They did a special on how to deal with old people. And this is something we don't talk about. Personally, I think we should wetwire all old people and use their neural pathways as data backup. No, I'm kidding. Personally, I think we should... I'd love to get old people talking to young people. If we could cut out the entire middleman of our current existing culture and just have people 65 plus talking to people 20 and under, you would bank. If you could do away with school somehow and just have old people talking to young people so you have life experience teaching young people how to prepare for the future, holy shit, what a concept. Now we're going back to the days when we were all in the trees because that's how things used to be. And now through technology and through harnessing that, maybe we could get some kind of a project together where the WOGs could go out to old folks, maybe old folks homes or those, what do they call them, community centers, senior centers and shit like that, where we could get these guys online. And, you know, if somebody was doing a school project on, you know, dams or whatever, we could talk to people who built dams and dam workers and stuff like that, or guys who say, you know, I'd like to be a soldier. Well, why don't you go talk to some old soldiers rather than believing the bullshit that's been prepared by ad companies to get you roped in? Why don't you talk to someone who is actually there? I've always wanted to do something like that. I think that'd be really, really worthwhile. And that's why this other idea here is a much better idea. Now, this is something they did in the northern Italian town of Bra, which is, pretty hard to take off. Anyway, she's had a tough life. Her father pulled her out of school at an early age and sent her to work. She was married at 30. This is this old lady here. Her first husband was kind to me, she says. But there were other women. And then the beating started. Now, you know, when I hear shit like this, and then the next line is 15 years later, which means this chick sat there getting shit kicked while the husband was cheating on her for 15 years. Welcome to reality. Giovanna was an alcoholic on the run from her husband and estranged from her one and only son who was taken away by social services. Wow. All kinds of bad baggage. Now, thanks to the apartment provided by the local council, she has a home of her own without having to depend on others. But Giovanna has still been ill and her health is deteriorating. She knows that she'll be soon too frail to care for herself and dreads the prospect of having to move into a retirement home. However, help may be at hand. Italy is experimenting with, check this out, adopt a grandparent, a potentially revolutionary solution for the problem of caring for the elderly. This is a really cool idea. It was a hit upon last year when an elderly widower named Giorgio placed an ad in the newspaper asking for a family to adopt him as a grandparent. Hundreds of families replied. Now, that's interesting. Now, social service departments across the country are considering adopting that policy. Now, personally, if somebody said, would you like to adopt a grandparent? I would say no, because I have no interest in having old people around my house. Just because I'm busy, I don't have the time. But you never know. In another 5 years, you know, the Dark One and I may or may not have children. So maybe, you know, I might want to care for someone. I'm not a totally, you know, I've got my dog here, the Range Man. You know, he's a little tasking sometimes because he's a pit bull. That means he demands at least 2 hours a day, at least. And he's with me sitting on the floor staring at the ground watching me yell at my computer. But, you know, realistically, if you don't have the time for a pet, then you don't have time for a grandparent. You know, I mean, that's generally it, especially if it's an elderly person, because that can get kind of sticky if they start to, you know, deterioration, body, biofunction and stuff like that. It can get a little bit messy. However, if that's your thing, I like this idea a shitload better than these guys laughing away by themselves in some locked up hospital room touching some doll that's giggling going, no, I'm sorry. I prefer the family option. I like social contact. Not to go Luddite here, not to go Luddite. But maybe it's all in my head, you know? I don't know. We'll wait to see what some of the server says, and we'll find out what's going on in that. Now, this was that thing I was talking about with Hezbollah. The Lebanese militant group Hezbollah says it has flown an unmanned spy plane over northern Israel, the second such flight since last November. Now, this is the beginning of the drone wars. Israeli officials confirmed the latest incident, saying a pilotless drone was seen over the western Galilee region before returning to Lebanese airspace. Now, bear in mind, you can buy... a drone now. There's a company that makes them. They're like, you get one with a GPS in it and a digital camera. You just program it. It fucks off, goes, flies around all the grid points and returns to base. Now, Area 51 much, but neither here nor there. But chances are you're going to lose your drone because somebody will be like, hey, there's a drone. Shoot it down. Or they'll follow it back to your house. And the really nasty people with the black suits and the sunglasses and the MP5 and the stinger under their coat will show up and shoot you dead. Now, Hezbollah says the flights are also a retaliation for repeated violations of Lebanese airspace by Israel. Afterwards, Israeli jets flew at low altitude over southern Lebanon. You know, Israel has a tendency to do that. Ooh, there's a little remote control toy. Right, let's have our jets fly at 30 feet over their houses at Mach 4. I don't know. Hezbollah said it was a Merced 1 aircraft which carried out reconnaissance missions on the skies of occupied northern Palestine, flying over several Zionist colonies. Dun, dun, dun. Now, the way I see it, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Zionist, you know, a lot of people don't know what the difference between Zionism and Judaism is. Now, Zionism, as I understand it, now I'm already getting an ocean email. What's a couple of more? As I understand it, Judaism as a faith is very, very gentle, very tolerant. They're beautiful people, okay? Now, the Zionist thing, as I understand it, is a little bit more hardline, okay? And I think they're kind of like, we're God's chosen people, everybody else is Gentile, and they can go and die. It's kind of like if the Nazis were Jews, they'd be Zionists, is the way I understand it. It's sort of like, you know, Uber Alice, Israel Uber Alice, that kind of a thing. Now, I don't know a hell of a lot about it, so don't, you know, I highly recommend people investigate that. You know, I really think that everyone should investigate these religions, because how much do all of us know about Judaism? How much do all of us know about Islam? How much do all of us know about Christianity? I'm a horror writer. I'm a supernatural horror writer. And so, naturally, you know, you've got to get into the old books in order to look at this stuff. So I've looked at some, I'm pretty familiar with the Kabbalah versus Zionism and Judaism and all that kind of stuff. You know, because it's creepy. You know, there's little symbols, and they talk to gods and angels and stuff, which I'm all about that for books, right? So it's good. So I don't know what's going on here with this whole Zionist colonies, stuff like that, so I can't really comment on that. I should probably, you know, increase the knowledge base there so I can report it to you. Witnesses in Lebanon say that just after the Hezbollah statement, Israeli jet fighters overflew the port city of Tir, a nearby Palestinian refugee camp, causing sonic booms. That seems a bit much because, well, you know, they just flew a drone and now they're flying over cities causing sonic booms, you know, hurting kids and shit, busting eardrums, not so good. And it seems that all those people who hate gay people, they got themselves a day. Happy fag-beating day. Irked by the success of Nationwide Day of Silence, which seeks to combat anti-gay bias in schools, conservative activists are launching a counter-event this week called the Day of Truth, aiming at mobilizing students who believe homosexuality is sinful. Yes, yes, this is when the Mud Hut religions rear their heads. Participating students are being offered T-shirts with the slogan, "The Truth Cannot Be Silenced," and cards to pass out to classmates Thursday, following the Day of Silence, declaring their unwillingness to condone detrimental personal and social behavior. Fuck you guys. The driving force behind the Day of Truth is the Alliance Defense Fund. Ooh, there's a scary... A Christian legal group that has opposed same-sex marriage and challenged restrictions of religious expression in public schools. The event is being endorsed by several influential conservative organizations, including Christian Ministry Focus, Family and Southern Baptist Conventional Ethics, and Religious Liberty Commission. So, once again, it's the psycho Christians. Hooray! And this is what they're going to be, putting out in our schools, teaching hatred. The Day of Silence was an event concerned by students, was an event conceived by students themselves in response to a very real problem of bullying and harassment they saw on their campuses. Jennings said, the Day of Truth is a publicity stunt cooked up by a conservative organization with a political agenda. It's an effort by adults to manipulate some kids. Well, that's pretty much the truth. That's what Kevin Jennings, GLSEN's executive director, said. He said this whole Day of Truth. Because really, what is it? It's an anti-homosexual day is what it is. And Buddy here is saying, no one wants bullying and harassment, but cloaking their real message that homosexuality is good for society. Okay, now, the gay issue. Now, people have heard me call gay people fags on the show, and this is something I've done my whole life. I'm trying to stem that down. But I've also told a number of stories about going and drinking with gay people, because it is my personal experience, okay, that gay people dance more. They're better dancers, and I will put, and in, I will take your rugby team, I will take the fucking sports team of choice and put them up. I will take the New Zealand All Blacks, okay, and I will put them against a team of cross-dressing drag queens in a drinking contest, and I guarantee you, okay, that I will have a website before before the drag queens hit the floor, man. Like, they would drink anybody under the table. I have partied with these people, and nobody on this planet can party. The Marines don't party as hard as gay people do, okay? I'm here to... I love gay people. I think they're a riot. They're a good time. They're able to throw their hands in the air and say, fuck it, I'm going to do what I want. There's no problems here. That's when you start making real progress as a society, when you start shedding a lot of traditions and bullshit. Yes, I suppose if the whole planet was gay, we would all die off. But as it sits right now, it seems that we've got a bit of a population thing going on. So a few gay people don't really hurt anybody. Now, these Christian conservative types... The gay people don't go up to the Christians and be like, we hate you. You don't see any gay people, you know, firebombing churches and stuff like that. Yeah, I think their parades sometimes are a little annoying. But do I think they should be, like, hunted, chastised, beaten, and killed? Like the God hates fags guy? You know, come on now. There comes a point when you have to go, well, you know what, guys, just fuck off, all right? The fags don't hurt anybody. If they're not bad for society, they're not good for society, they're impartial. And it's not about society, it's about a personal choice. So fuck off. And definitely fuck off with your Day of Truth. Okay, because that's bullshit. Now, it seems that the RIAA has discovered Internet 2, which call me a Luddite, but I didn't even know what the fuck Internet 2 was. The RIAA said it will sue over 400 students with access to Internet 2, the high-speed next-generation network, for copyright infringement. there's a comma there. The experimental network was used by universities and researchers that has been demonstrated to transmit a DVD, an entire DVD, so like 4 gigs of data, or anywhere between, what is it, 3 and 9 gigs of data, in around 30 seconds. Oh, that's hot. The sheer speed of I2 makes sharing much more attractive, exponentially increasing the amount of revenue lost by the RIA's failure to lobby for a scheme to reimburse them. Fuck off. You haven't lost any money. People are transferring these movies back and forth, and it's just like music. They see a movie. Did you like the movie? No, don't buy it. You watch the movie, you like the movie, what are you going to do? You're going to go buy it, aren't you? Yes, you are, because you're going to want all the extras that come on the DVD and shit like that. We cannot let this high-speed network become a zone of lawlessness where the normal rules don't apply, said Kerry Sheeman, RIAA president. Okay, Kerry, you need to, why don't you just pull your head out of your ass for just a little while? Just 10, 15 minutes tops. Get the head out, just, get it out, make it happen, all right? Now, I don't understand, like, this I2 thing, fuck, that's where we need to put Rant Media, okay? Woohoo! Newsreel on Rant Media, baby, that's what I want. It'll be tight. If we can get out there and be, well, of course, what would we do then? I mean, because realistically, the show's really small. Does it really need to be on I2? Yes, I think it does. Because going to university is where this kind of program needs to go. So if you've got bandwidth, especially if you're on I2, and this is true anywhere, Rant Media needs you. Don't you forget that right now, be it right, be it wrong, if you agree with me or not, You have the right to make a news broadcast. You have the right to get out there and start spreading your thoughts and ideas. If you're someone who objects to my, you know, mud hut religious terminology, make your own show. Call it Welcome to My Mud Hut. And you go in there and we'll talk about religion or whatever. You know, make a show. Shit, if you were to do that, wow. You put that on Rant Radio, we'll talk about world religion, lockdown, put them all in the octagon, everybody fights. I'd tune in to listen to that. I'd love to see, like, a rabbi and a Roman Catholic dude and whatever they call the, what do they call those Israeli guys? Not Israeli, Muslims. What the hell are Muslims priests called? Now, this is embarrassing. I should remember what a Muslim priest is called. They got a special name. Fuck. I don't remember. Oh, well. You know, the Muslim guys. So I'll get some Islamic dudes in there and, you know, have the call of prayer every day and have all... What I'd love to do is have, like, a complete register of all everything that every religion has to do during the day. I'm sure that we wouldn't have much time for programming because there'd be calls to prayers, like, five times a day. And you have to pray in the morning, pray at all your meals and, you know, I don't know, get your little mat out and do your thing or whatever. I mean, that's cool. That's cool. Now, getting to more of something that I'd like to look at as religion, nanotech, Foresight Institute is mighty. They look like an elegant row of columns, tiny enough for atomic scale hide and seek. But these colonnades represent a new thing to bring nanotechnology to the mass production. Sexy. Nanotechnology is the ability to create and work with structures and materials on an atomic scale. Holds promise for an extremely miniaturization of electronics, chemical sensors, medical devices, Wolverine claws, juicer gear, mecha, star cruisers, large giant drop pods that'll drop off huge gaves of mecha. All is possible thanks to nanotechnology. It takes weeks to make one or two, and you end up with different sizes and characteristics, said M. Salif Islam, assistant professor of electrical and computing engineering, who's joined UC Davis from Hewlett-Packard Laboratories in 2004. But while researchers have created tiny silicone wires and connected them together one at a time, these methods cannot easily be scaled up. Like handmade shoes, every manually assembled nanostructure comes out slightly different. Ooh, customization. Engineers would rather build devices the way cars or computers are built, with every item as consistent as possible. Well, that just means you have to have a little bit more care. Hand-built nanotechnology. Wow, that's custom. While working at the Quantum Science Research Group of Hewlett-Packard Laboratories, Islam and colleagues came up with a new approach. That's hilarious that his name is Islam. I'm sorry, especially considering the show. Silicone wafers are used for building microcircuits and are usually polished on one specific angle of the atomic planes of silicon. Instead, the group used a wafer fin that was polished at a different angle, changing the orientation of silicon atomic planes on the surface. Using chemical vapor deposition technique, they could then grow identical and perpendicular columns of silicon. Okay, now, if we can paint giant pictures on the inside of bottles with weird fucked up brushes, because I've seen that, the Chinese do that, so Asians do that a lot. They have these, like, amazing art they do. They'll have, like, a bottle with, like, this opening on the top of the bottle that's, like, you know, less than the thickness of, like, an antenna head, you know. And they stick these brushes in there and they put, like, the fucking Mona Lisa on the inside of this bottle. I mean, it's just insane. If they can do that, you can make me some nanotech. Don't you worry about that. I've seen the ship in the bottle, guys. So nanotech, we've got these new bridges that are transistors that will speed shit up. I'm very happy about that. And never mind the bandwidth pimps, we got bandwidth blimps. U.S. communications outfit SansWire yesterday unveiled concrete evidence of its truly audacious plan to deliver line-of-sight wireless broadband and mobile phone signals to an area the size of Texas from a single transmission point. The company is not, however, planning a private satellite launch or a 10,000-foot-high transmission mast designed to be as a really big tree. Rather, intends to deploy a fleet of geostationary robotic airships hovering at a comfortable 65,000 feet above the Earth. The makers reckon the Stratolite, okay, that's the name, will change the way you communicate, according to SansWire parent Global Telecommunications Corp. Supremo Lee Coleman. He explains to Reuters, we're shooting for satellite replacement at a lower cost. So what we got is we got an airship, you know, hitting up top on a really 65,000 feet, and they just broadcast down. Now, I think that these things would be easy to take out. That's the one thing I have with them. But they say they're made of spectra and is powered by solar-powered electrical engines. And spectra is like, they use it, like Spectra Shield is something they use in bulletproof clothing. Very, very tough stuff. And powered by solar-powered electric engines. Very cool. Each Stratolite will reach its final altitude by utilizing proprietary lifting gas technology. Once in place at 65,000 feet, approximately 13 miles, and safely above the jet stream, each Stratolite will remain in one GPS coordinate, providing ideal wireless transmission platform. Now, what I want to know is, how do we privatize that so that Rant Media can get one of those? Check that out. And we got a NutraSweet update for you. Yes. Glad to see that that's still being fought. Consumer rights advocacy group Mission Possible is leading a campaign to fill a product liability lawsuit to file, pardon me, a product liability lawsuit with New York and New Jersey residents whose brain tumors may be linked to the consumption of the artificial sweetener aspartame, also called NutraSweet, Equal, Spoonful, etc. Neither congressional hearings or repeated petitions calling for the ban have stopped aspartame manufacturers from exposing the public to this sweetened poison. In fact, aspartame producers are reporting increased sales and boasting the marketplace edition of Neotame, new aspartame product, explains Mission Possible International founder Betty Martini. For 16 years, the FDA resisted pressure to approve aspartame due to safety studies linked to artificial sweetener to numerous adverse reactions, including development of brain tumors and animal studies. In 1977, FDA investigator Jerome Bressler released a report describing how, in clinical studies submitted to the FBI, Searle removed aspartame-induced brain tumors that developed in lab rats and placed them back in the study. If the rats died, Bressler reported, Searle would resurrect them on paper. So, it seems to me that Searle is the devil, and you want to try to avoid things like that because, aspartame, just don't eat it. You know, when you've got this much flack going on, it just makes me crazy. I did a show a long time ago on aspartame. Maybe it's time for me to do another focused show on that. Today's daily hack from Noog is I'm secure. I'm secure. Protection from buffer overflows, attacks, as well as message encryption for one of the instant messaging accounts to protect instant messaging from being monitored. Version 1.5 features universal protection, protects the vast majority of IM traffic, working the most popular services, AOL Instant Messenger, ICQ, MSN, Yahoo Messenger, inbound, outbound, proxy support, lets IM clients connect via SOX, SOX 5 proxies, as well as tunneling HTTP proxies. It works really good, easy to set up, and best of all, baby, it is free. You gotta like that stuff. I got a special After Now note, and this is something I would really appreciate everyone of the all of you who are After Now fans to go and respond in the Rant Radio forums about what they'd like to see in Season 5. That way I can prevent suckage, and let's just say I don't want to repeat past mistakes. Take from that what you want. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I'll be back on Monday with my buddy Samarian to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight for the right to speak. Four Elite, Dave, Grey Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Anonymous, Melican, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, lost my place, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Darmu, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. New subscribers this month who were the reinforcements flying to my aid. They were Druid Y, Simaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Thank you so much. And the army of flying monkeys who were my Ricky element, who brought me the news today, were Wyandi, Madar, Ricky Rocket, Ronan Saria, Tankion, yeah. No Delete, Dead Code, The Boon, and some bubblegum in my nut hair. Digital baptisms today. Prosium's Cat is now Budo, and Dookie JC is now known as Slipstream. Upcoming events, none to report right now. Check the website for all updates. And thanks again for everyone in their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album Fusion by Parallel Projects. Very, very cool. I'm going to leave you now with a really cool track from Ice Cube talking about stuff that we maybe should think about doing again, called We're Gonna Tear This Motherfucker Up. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Peace, quiet, and good order will be maintained in our city to the best of our ability. Riots, melees, and disturbances of the peace are against the interest of all our people and therefore cannot be permitted.
The jury found that they were all not guilty, not guilty, not guilty,
We've been
not told guilty,
that all
not
along
guilty.
Crenshaw Boulevard, that there's a series of fires, a lot of looting is going on, a disaster area, obviously.
The jury found that they were all not guilty, not
Make
guilty.
Make it rough.
Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty.
A lot of activity continues here in the Grand
Make it rough.
We have sporadic fires throughout the city of Los Angeles.
Not guilty, not guilty.
Not guilty, the filthy devils tried to kill me. When the news gets to the hood, the niggas will be hotter than cayenne pepper. Cuss, bust, kick.
Kicking up dust is a must. I can't trust a cracker in a blue uniform. Stick a nigga like a unicorn. Born wicked, Lawrence, pow, foul. Cut his fucking throat and I smile. Gonna send me Dolly and surely somebody knows the address of the jewelry. Pay a little visit. Who is it? Get a crump to the Grand Wizard. Then boom, make him eat the barrel. Modern day Pharaoh. Now he's zipped up like leather Tuscadero. Pretty soon we'll catch Sergeant Coon. Shoot him in the face, run up in him with a broom. Stick, prick, devils ain't shit. Introduce his ass to the AK-40 dick. 2 days, niggas laid in a cut. To get some respect, we had to tear this motherfucker up. Make it rough. I got a Mac-10 for Officer Wynn. Damn, his devil ass need to be shipped back to Kansas. In a casket, crew cut faggot. Now he ain't nothing but food for the maggots. Lunch, punch, Hawaiian, lying. Niggas ain't buying your story for me. Tearing shit up with fire. Shoot us, loot us. Now I got a laptop computer. I told you it would happen and you heard it, read it. But all you can call me was anti-Semitic. Regret it, nope, said it, yep. Listen to my big black boots as I step. Niggas had to break you off something, give push a push. But your National Guard ain't hard. You had to get botany to stop me, cause you know what? We would have told this motherfucker up. Make it rough. Hey, Muggs, make it rough. On. Gone with the wind and I know white men can't dunk. Now I'm stealing butts and a cake from Betty Crocker. Over wet and Baca, don't buck with the black on stores, but hit the Foot Locker. Steal, motherfuck, fire, Marshall Bill. Oh, what the hell, throw the cocktail, I smell smoke. Got the fuck out, Ice Cube, luck out. My nigga had a struck out, didn't get stuck out. In front of that store with the Nikes and Adidas. Oh, Jesus, prison surplus, got the heaters. Meet us, so we can get the nines and the wet knots. Got the Moss Bird with the double eye buckshot. Ready for Daryl, and like Beretta would say, keep your eye on the barrel, a sparrow. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time, but I'm rolling. So that's a fucked up slogan. The Hogan's heroes spotted the gorilla by the sizzler. Hitting up police killer. The super duper nigga that a buck. We had to tear this motherfucker up, so what the fuck? Make it rough. Yo, Muggs, make it rough.
Timothy Wynn and Theodore Bersenio, the four officers accused of beating motorist Rodney King.